many seagulls fly over the sea? Because if they flew over the bay, they'd be bagels. There's your joke. All right, we're ready to go. Okay, it is 5 o'clock. We're going to go ahead and start. It is March 31st, 2026. This is our 5 o'clock Board of Education meeting. We're going to begin by indicating who's here. Clark, go ahead.
Clark Nelson.
Karen Winder. Chris Wynn.
Connie Burgess.
Kim Chandler.
Julie Jackson.
Todd Hover.
Ben Worsley.
And Nicole McDermott. All right, we're going to invite Dr. Converse up to go over our first review for the sex education instructional materials.
Okay, thank you, Board President, Board members. All right, I'm going to just jump right in here and quickly walk through what you're very, very familiar with now, which is our procedure for instructional materials review. Two board meetings, as you're well aware, and just specifically in terms of sex ed committee, which is a little bit different from the other instructional materials adoptions. There's a special committee that looks specifically at human development, and anything related to that must be approved through the sex ed committee. And just wanted to draw your attention to one thing on this slide, which is that we have 16 members, 11 of which are parents and 5 of which are school staff on the committee this year. And then you can see we convene twice annually and review all the instructional materials or any revisions to instructional materials that are currently adopted anytime someone requests for those to be considered. And then just as a real quick review in the steps, we look at all of those materials, they meet, there must be a two-thirds majority, and then in between the two public board meetings, we post for public review. It's a 30-day review, just like all the instructional materials, and you see those comments as we just did with the last science adoption in the same way. We respond to them in as soon as they come in, and then we share the summary of those. So just to get into the three materials that we're looking at, the first is called Parentable, I think is how they pronounce that. And this is a material that is a supplemental material. It's currently a part of the RIMS approved USBE list as a primary resource. In our district, it would be considered a supplemental resource, so it's only if teachers use to use this supplementally to teach the standards. It's not a required resource. In terms of committee, we had 93% of the 16 members who recommended, and then one who did not and didn't provide comment as to why they weren't. And then you can see the standards connections next to it. Just to give you a little bit of background, Parentable is really about parenting strategies, but also caretaking strategies in general. So in the context that Parentable is relevant to our Health 2 standards and our students in high school, this would be for like siblings who are caretaking younger siblings or others, maybe babysitting. And it just really does address all of these standards, but mostly just in very positive caretaking strategies. And so making sure you know how to stay calm, you know how to use positive reinforcement, you know how to maybe use kind of love and logic types of things. That's what it's really about. The second one, the Building Uplifting Relationships, comes out of a Utah organization. I think it's like Fathers of Families organization. And this one, specifically the standards, it's also a RIMS adopted USBE supplemental material. And the standards are all connected here. I can go into those if you want me to, but we can talk about that during the question piece. And then you can kind of see all of the different lessons that they have. But this is really just about good relationships and the standards in our health, the specific standards in our health standards that address making sure you know how to build proactive relationships that are healthy, that are trusted. Again, we had 93% of that, and that should say 26, not 2024. 93% of the 2026 16-member committee that approved that were for it, and one rejecting with no comment. And then finally, the last material that we are looking at today is one that's already adopted, and this goes with the STD and STI standards, and it's really just an activity that students and teachers facilitate that was updated because the material was starting to feel a little bit antiquated, and the revisions were teased out for both girls and boys. And so I think that this was in response to teachers kind of saying our kids aren't really connecting to this material, and we need some revisions in it, and these are the things we should make. And so there were 88% of the 16-member committee that recommended it, one who rejected it with concerns that the consequences that were being discussed weren't really the sole responsibility of the individual, but it kind of took another person into account. If that makes sense. And so that gave that individual pause in accepting it. The other rejecting, saying that with the concern that these were scare tactics and providing not enough information about STDs or STIs and statistical data. And so there you can see the standards connections as well on those. The next steps are public review and feedback for the next 30 days, and then another review in May 5th. So any questions or anything I can help with?
How will this be made? How can people view this? Is it going to be posted on our homepage? How can we steer people to it?
In all the ways we have been posting the materials, we'll push out through Focus, we'll advertise on the website. There'll be a portal that they're able to go in and provide the comments, and then they'll also be able to come and view these physically in the curriculum and instruction department if that's how they would like to view them.
We also push it out with our ParentLink newsletter.
Correct.
As well.
Yep. All the communication.
Will we be able to? Well, not we. Will they be able to see the ParentBowl in its entirety like we were able to?
Yeah, so the way that they'll be able to do that is by coming in. I guess what we could, if I imagine we could, upon request, ask the company to provide a link per family that viewed it. It might become overwhelming if it's hundreds of them, but I doubt we'll get that many, so we probably can do the same thing we did for you as well.
Okay, I know. Julie, you have a question, and Kim, do you have a question?
Yeah, I just wondered, when the committee reviews this, it's my understanding that they are reviewing it to say, yes, it follows the statute and policy.
Right.
Am I right? I'm interested that I'm hearing comment that it's scare tactics and that it doesn't provide enough information about STDs and STIs, because to me, scare tactics is outside of the law, mm-hmm. right? That would
right.
be just an opinion.
Sure.
Which I think I'm asking, like, is the committee giving opinion, or are they looking at the law and determining, you know, what's their role there?
Yeah. So the rubric they follow is very similar to the RIMS rubric, if you look at. And so they really look at, objectively, at what's the connection to the standards. However, we also allow committee members to provide their personal their personal opinions about the materials, and we try to address those as we can.
Go ahead.
Just a couple of questions on the Building Uplifting Relationships curriculum. Mm-hmm. I had a committee member anonymously reach out to me just passing on a comment. They said they submitted. They said that on one of the slides in that curriculum, I think the healthy relationships module, that there were resources listed that they commented on. They said that they felt they were not in line with our laws and not proven healthy resources. I just wanted to know, was that comment followed up on and addressed? Because it's not in the comments that were given to us, probably because it wasn't a... They didn't vote against it, right? But they submitted the comment.
Okay. I don't think I'm aware of that comment, if it was posted. In terms of not being in line with the laws, because it is on the RIMS list and they follow the RIMS rubric at the state level, it has to. The first test of that is it goes through the sensitive materials, all of those pieces, and then it goes through all of the human development required laws, and it passed all of those. So, but I can go back and research that for you and get back to you on that, and also report back on our next review if you would like.
Thank you. And it was again specific to resource links, not to the curriculum itself, but to the links that are included as resources. Additional resources. So I can give you more detail about that.
That would be great. Thank you very much.
Also, on the parent-able, how do you say it? Parentable, parent-able, I don't know.
I don't know.
I just wanted to express my concern on that one, just not certain that that's really our role to be doing parenting courses. I think parenting courses have a place in our society, but in my view, that's not the place of the government to be dictating what a good parent is. So I just wanted to put that concern out there. I've already mentioned it to you, but for others listening, I also just noticed in going through it that it didn't seem to me like a great curriculum. One example, the very first lesson, it makes some claims and definitions that seem pretty dubious to me anyway. One of the things it says, for example, is it defines emotional abuse. And that definition of emotional abuse includes if you've ever put your child in time out for more than 1 minute per year. Congratulations, I think half of us in this room are guilty of emotional abuse, according to that definition. So that's just one example. Not sure that I'm liking that curriculum. So just putting that out there.
Thank you.
Anything else?
It's interesting because building a little bit on what Kim said, well, first of all, to Julie's comment, I think whenever we ask for public feedback, you have to assume there's opinion in it.
Well, this is committee feedback.
Right, but it still is public. And so I think when you're asked to be a committee member, you're going to get both, is what I'm saying. And I don't know that that's necessarily bad, you know, because we genuinely want feedback. I actually I spent quite a bit of time playing around with the lessons on the parentable, parentable. I guess they're going to have to email us with like a sound definition on how to say that.
Accent.
But I kind of, I just kept asking myself, because there were so many lessons and it was just direct, this is how to be a good parent, this is what a good parent is. Those are great skills to learn. Mm-hmm. But out of our entire sex ed curriculum, how much is required of this specific topic? Because I just thought, wow, if you spent 8 lessons on this, that would take up so much of your overall time. And I thought, this is pretty heavy. It reminded me actually a lot of my child development classes in college. Mm-hmm. And so I felt a little bit like, oh, yep, I've studied this before, but it was not in high school. It was in college. And so I'm just wondering, at a high school level, what is the required amount of time or required standards? Do you see what I'm getting at?
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, when we were working with the group who was presenting this to us after some interest at one of our high schools, we explained, and they were very responsive, that it was pretty, there was a lot.
Yeah.
And that if you want teachers to really be able to incorporate this into their scope and sequence, it has to be manageable. And we specifically kind of pointed out there are some standards, but it can't take over their curriculum. We have too much to cover. And so that's why when we present this curriculum, you know, it really is a matter of using it supplementally to the extent the teacher finds it useful. And that was the feedback we gave to them as well. So I would love to see also if we see more of that feedback in the public comment, because that was our critique as well at the beginning, that it was really a lot.
Yeah, I just don't foresee a teacher being able to scoop that up, cover all, I think, what, 8 lessons? I was scrolling through. I don't remember how many were on there. Mm-hmm. 7? I don't remember. Anyway, but sure. It was, I just kept scrolling and reading and clicking on the assignments and clicking on the tests, and I thought, wow, mm-hmm. that you could do like almost a whole semester on that. And I just, that's what I was wondering. What's the percentage of a semester's worth of Health yep. 2 class that right. could be devoted to this?
And really, when we gave the feedback, it was, you know, we could see this happening in several sessions, but 8 whole classes or, you know, the lessons, it was a lot. And so really teachers have the latitude to take what they want from it and apply that in what seems meaningful based on the standards that are here listed next to them. So it doesn't have to be that comprehensive.
I seem to remember, because this was in one of my high schools that I represent, and so Noelle, you correct me, but I believe that this wasn't taught in Health 2. It was its own, it was like a family, it was like a child development course. And so it was like a full curriculum. I'm not sure that it, I'm pretty sure it would not have included all of the sex ed parts of this, the way that the teacher would have taught it without it being, which is why it's here.
Right.
Right? Yep. To get approval. But I think it was taught as part of a parenting course and utilized in that way. And then that's when students actually brought this to me. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, you're talking to the wrong person. You got to talk to Noelle. So, but anyway, in this case, what we're looking at is for this to be something that is a resource for teachers to pick and choose from.
100%.
Right? So I don't need to do the whole thing. I can pick what works for me and awesome. But we're putting this as intended for use as Health 2 supplemental curriculum. So if I'm right that they were using it in a consumer science or something like that mm-hmm. class, are they still allowed to do that?
They'll be able to use it in any way that gets approved.
But can it be used if it's only approved for health? Can
in
it be
this,
used in a different
in this
class?
Case.
In any class that has the health, that applies to the health standards. So we have other courses that also apply to the health standards. So
okay.
all the CTE classes that also
okay.
have
okay.
those standards. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that helps. I had some reservations about it as well, just full disclosure, because I thought, I don't know, looking at these standards, I don't know how the parenting does help with those standards. It doesn't, I don't see anything in there that talks about parenting. However, I can see that it would go in a child development course, so I'm mm-hmm. wondering if maybe there's something that we could see next time that steers us more towards that, because I think mm-hmm. that makes more sense, because mm-hmm. that is where you're expecting to have some instruction on child development and parenting and that type of thing, whereas I think in a health class, I was like, how does this relate to this at all?
Sure.
So I would appreciate seeing that part, just because I think in a general sense, in a general education type Health 2 class, I would worry that this type of a thing could be seen as undermining parents, mm-hmm. and we don't mm-hmm. want to undermine our parents and saying, you're a bad parent, so we're teaching every child here how to parent correctly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if it's a self-selecting child development course, then I could see that being a little bit more applicable. So I appreciate that. I look forward to seeing the comments that we have as the public comes forward and maybe getting a little bit more information from you on the next time.
Yeah, that would be great. I can completely add in child development standards as well. So then we can look at those specifically.
Okay.
So thank you. I'm just piggybacking and saying I agree with that wholeheartedly. Thank you, because I neglected to say it. I also was struggling to see the connection between that curriculum and the standards we had listed. So thanks.
Yeah. Any other comments? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Converse. And Assistant Superintendent Bell.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go ahead and invite Justin up. He has not been able to go home this evening. He's not been excused yet.
Not yet. Good evening, board leadership, board members, district leadership. Grateful to have a chance to share with you our most updated slide. I guess we're looking this direction since that screen is out. I'll just jump in and you can ask me questions if you've got anything that comes to your mind. We are continuing with the Taylorsville High Wing Edition. We've had a chance to visit with the committee a couple times out there and got some feedback and suggestions, and so we're making good progress early on in the concepts, but we're making good progress there.
Do we have a timeline?
I was just gonna say, as a reminder, we will be done with design by August. We want to bid it in September and get to you, the board. I believe it's the November board meeting, so we can start construction in December. So that's kind of our time frame. So this year we'll be in the ground or moving dirt. So that's exciting. It will not be opened, final completion will not be until 29, the fall or August of 29. So a few years out still. So that's Taylorsville. The Magna Steam Academy, there's the solar panels for them are on the roof now and installed. Now the batteries that come behind and hook them all together is happening right now, and a lot will happen over the next week at spring break time. So that's exciting news there. Around the corner at Brock Bank, a few small touch-up items on safety film and some additional duct detectors that needed to be put in. That will happen over spring break as well. And then we have the carbon monoxide projects that had to be redesigned, and so they are about to go on. I know that's been on here for quite a while, but it's been a struggle to get them to meet our code and then so we can get them out on the streets. So that's kind of where we're at with those. HVAC projects, as our summer hit us really quick last week and a couple weeks, but Bridger Elementary chiller replacement is scheduled to be complete here shortly. I know the chillers arrived and they're making good progress piping everything with a startup here in mid-April, so we're pushing hard on that one. The annex air handling unit replacement here at this location is 99% complete. The Walker commissioning, South Kearns commissioning, and Cypress commissioning are progressing and quickly trying to wrap those projects up as well. Fencing, you have before you an agenda item, I think, sometime tonight to approve the first seven security fencing projects that are listed there are those elementaries. We took one from each precinct. That's how we got those seven. And they were also some of the easier ones to get done and get going, so we could learn from our first round. The second round is not ready to be bid, but getting closer. These were seven schools that the state safety chief, I think is his title, has been out and dinged us on a few things here, which we knew we would be. So we're trying to get those off the naughty list, if you will, and get those.
Justin, are those summer projects or are those going in?
Now? We pending your approval tonight. We want to get started in the next week on those.
The first
seven.
So how long are those expected to take?
Maybe the longest one of those first seven would be 2 to 3 weeks, a short turnaround, very short. It's some basic fence posts with concrete, stringing up fabric, a couple of gates. It's just closing off a few areas, the campuses that just needed a little bit to button them up all together. So these ones are pretty easy. It's kind of, the low-hanging fruit, if you will. As we get further down the list, some of them become more complicated where we have to discuss with our neighbors about fences, the gates that they have into our property, and those ones get a little more complicated.
So the second round, I'm looking at some of them that I share the concern.
Okay.
Where some of them have some pretty compromised areas.
Yeah.
Is this, is this the, like, are we prioritizing? Are we going to start prioritizing? Because it seems like the first seven are not, I look at the one in my area and I'm like, that one is not a huge issue. But the second round one is definitely an issue. So are we going to, in the future, as we prioritize these, are we going to keep the ones that are like, I know Chris has talked about the ones that have units that are critical, that we have kids that are always, that are constantly leaving.
Okay.
Are those, how are we, I guess my question is, how are we prioritizing?
Sure. So the first round, it was we thought it was the easiest ones to get done, to get a batch of seven done. We also are trying to find out how much these are going to cost us. That's what we were pleasantly surprised that the cost came in a lot cheaper than what we had budgeted. So that's always good news, right? So we kind of wanted to see where our cost per square linear foot came in, and that will help us gauge kind of going forward. The second round of seven, we can certainly shift if we need to, but these were ones that we'd already been dinged by the state safety person and gave us a kind of a bad grade. And I know our chief is anxious to not have bad grades, right? So we were trying to just get those cut up, but we certainly can look at other things. We have kind of done that, but I don't have all the inside information that you all would have, that maybe there are some schools that ought to be moved up, you know, over another one that I wouldn't be aware of.
I just have a question with I don't understand what needs to be done. So what are you fencing in? What, just
sure.
Explain a little bit.
Fair enough. Thank you. Yes, thank you. So primarily it's to make sure we have the back of our schools. These are all elementaries right now. We'll get to junior highs and high schools later, but right now it's the elementaries to make sure that we have a complete closed-in play field, right? So the kiddos can be safe back behind the school, on the sides and behind, if you will. So there, in most places, we have a good amount of fence, but there's always places where there's a catwalk and there wasn't a gate there, or the side of a school, there's a 30-foot opening where, you know, cars can drive around and could be on the playground or whatever. So we're looking at all of those entrances, closing those off, or putting a gate with a lock that can be accessed if you have a key or maintenance or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yes, thanks.
Well, and Justin, I brought up in the past, and I don't think it was to you, and maybe that's why you're unfamiliar, but we have a couple of my schools that have units in it, have kids that just run. From the school, and I mean, that's just their nature. And I was just hoping for some priority
sure.
on some of those schools for fencing to help keep those kiddos safe.
We have this in a spreadsheet. I'd be glad to share it with you if you wanted to help us prioritize, which I was trying to do it by precinct so everyone was getting equal love, but I'm glad to do, you know, whatever. Also, the other reason, some of these had been designed already, and so they were ready to go, and others were still in design. That was the other reason we were trying to, the ones that we've spent time on, get those off and get them going, and while we're finishing up other designs. The other thing that's to play in that is if we have a fence that has gates in it from our neighbors that they probably most likely cut in, we've been asked to go and do a survey and make sure the fence is on our property, that we don't go blank off someone's gate that isn't on our property. And so those surveys take a little longer time too. So the ones that we have to survey have kind of been pushed back a little bit because that process takes a little longer.
Yeah.
So that's another reason.
That. But that, I mean, I'm happy to see this started, so thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Sorry, we spent so much time on fencing.
But we're excited, right? We need to get our campuses fenced. Moving on to Cypress, if that's okay, unless you have other questions. Excuse me. I'm going to give the old contractor adage that, you know, the last 5% of the job takes 95% of the effort. It just takes forever to wrap these projects up. And so some of these things you've seen probably on here before, but the punch list continues at Cypress. we have the grandstand heat pump. I'll show a picture of that in a second that's being installed for when they have games, they can have, you know, cooling and heating up there. Hardware being finalized, certain places that didn't, had some mix-ups and some messes on that. AV components and classrooms finalized, test and balance contractors finalizing the report, I mentioned that already. The cooling system startup, and then irrigation startup and training, and there's a fun picture of the auditorium I want to share here, so we'll jump into our photos. This is the grandstands at Cypress, just the standalone air conditioning and heating unit, so coaches and those that keep score or press or on the mic can have control there. Irrigation pumps. The Auditorium 360 lighting photo is kind of fun. That's up in those clouds. If you've been in the auditorium at Cypress and seen those clouds way up high, this is up where we don't want anybody to go. I didn't go up there, but somebody else went up there and took a picture, one of my guys, Dallin, and looking down to the, you see the chairs way down below there, but this camera has the ability to rotate 360 degrees, light, and it's kind of a fun thing, so that's why he took a picture of that. And then there, that was his first pictures, and there wasn't any change orders that needed to come before the board for Cypress for this month. Any questions about Cypress before we switch over to Skyline? Skyline, excuse me, lots going on. If you've driven by lately or haven't, maybe on a nice evening drive by and look at the progress. Even the front sidewalk is torn up right now on along Upland, so that working with the city and getting that replaced so that everything is all ready to go for the start of school this coming August. The auditorium is down, and they're just removing the debris, some tunnels. They discovered some additional asbestos ductwork underneath the building. We knew that it was there. There was some in the old building that we took down, and so that's slowing down a little bit while that gets abated for the demolition guys to finish hauling off all the concrete. But, you know, I joked earlier this week, who knew there were mountains to the east of Skyline? Once that old building came down, there's great views from the commons now to see Mount Olympus and looking east. Lights in the auditorium, sight lighting around the auditorium going in. The marquee, there's a picture here in a minute. Classrooms, for the most part, look like they're ready to be moved into. So I'm going to jump down and just go through the pictures. I think that does more for us. You can see the performing arts kind of in a pile there on the left. on the right, you can see that they're starting to get in the irrigation lines and the lighting and different things that go around the outside of the auditorium there. This patio concrete area is where we had an air handler the last year and a half. That's been relocated before this summer. It was supposed to go this summer, and we got it done over Christmas break, so that was a huge push to get that done, which was awesome. You can see the marquee on the right. Actually, I saw a photo just the other day that has the digital display on it. It's not turned on, but it's actually mounted there, so that's exciting to see the progress there. The sidewalk that leads to the east over to the LDS Seminary. You see on the west side of the school the playground equipment that they for the preschool kids. That's and then there'll be a canvas shade structure above that, which is exciting. Here are those kind of the classrooms and the collaboration area on the left that I mentioned, and then on the right is some of that the laminate flooring on the floor, and then of course the wood grain textures on the wall around the auditorium makes it feel super warm and inviting, cozy. The dressing rooms here on the left and the black box theater floor had just been freshly painted on the right. The stage floor installation going on as we speak. Here on the right is the auditorium and those clouds that I mentioned a few minutes ago at Cypress, but here's from the back of the auditorium looking towards the stage there. Stage rigging is complete, which is exciting. More of the corridors there. Our music and choir rooms, I know you've all had a chance, I think, to see how great the ones are at Cypress, and these will be the same, just, you know, different address, but super, super fun and exciting. And then there wasn't any change orders.
So it says the band and choir rooms. Where's the orchestra room?
Sorry, did I? Well, that's what I meant.
Just wondering.
Yeah.
Do you know your audience?
I know. I understand. I apologize. Yes.
I think you forgot.
You'll have to come up there and break it in, right, and lead the Skyline fight song. Any question? That's all that I have as far as a presentation.
Okay. I think that's it.
Thank you.
Your excuse, Justin.
Thank you.
You can go home.
Thank you.
All right. We're good? We want to recognize Lauren Colby, who's here from the Kern City Council. Thank you for being here. I know this is the most exciting meeting, I'm sure. we hope you can come back for our 7 o'clock if you're available. We have need of an executive session for the purpose of character and competence, litigation, real estate, and collective bargaining. So with that, I will take a motion.
I move we move to executive session for the purpose of character and competence, litigation, real estate, and collective bargaining.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to move into executive session for the purpose of character and competence, litigation, real estate, and collective bargaining. This is a roll call vote. Julie, go ahead and start.
Yes.
You need to state your name, too.
Julie Jackson, yes.
Kim Chandler, yes.
Connie Burgess, yes.
Chris Wynn, yes.
Karen Winder, yes.
Clark Nelson, yes.
And Nicole McDermott, yes. All right. We're going to go ahead and excuse. We are going to save...